Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe and Angel. Welcome to Mailbag Monday, where Angel and I take time and answer questions that you sent in. We've got a boatload of questions, so let's just jump in, sugar.
First, I'd like to say that I have a new grandbaby.
Yes, we do.
She was just perfect. She was born. She was 4 pounds, 9 ounces.
Little.
She's probably 5'2" now. Teeny like her mama. She looks like her mama. And spunky like her mama. Wonder where her mama got that.
Yeah, I wonder where.
But anyway, she's just as cute as can be. Her name is Margot Robin. Both mother-in-law's middle names. The other mother-in-law is Margot, and I'm Robin. And we call her Go-Go.
And life has changed a lot.
It has changed a lot.
It's a roller coaster ride.
All of us. Woo! Suddenly, the attention has changed. It has diverted.
Yes, it has.
I'm excited about Christmas this year.
Great day to be alive. It is a great day to be alive.
And the other mother-in-law is a big shopper. And I have to say, she's got to be one of the best-dressed kids in Lakeland so far. And I was over there visiting her yesterday, and the other mother-in-law stopped by, and she came in. Every time I see her, she's got a bag of clothes, a bag of clothes, a bag of clothes. Thank God, because I'm not a shopper. So
the baby will never lack.
No, she will not lack for fun and style. Okay, Joe, we have 4 kids all under the age of 10, and our budget has been tight lately. They desire new clothes, toys, etc., but we just don't have it in the budget. How do you discuss this with kids without putting them in fear or feeling like there isn't enough?
That's very simple. I went through this with 6 kids. I always had them keep a list. What is it you're believing God for? Whatever I get, I'm believing God for. Whatever mom gets, she's believing God for. What are you believing God for? What are you praying about? Are you praying for anything? Are you just showing up like Santa Claus this Christmas Eve and sitting on his lap and giving you wish lists? It doesn't work that way. Life's a wonderful thing, but you get what you ask for. Jesus said 8 times in the New Testament, you have not because you ask not. What do you want? And so I make them prioritize, put a list. You know, if you wanted, what's the top 10 things you'd like to have that you think you don't have? And so, well, let's just take the top 1. How do you think you're going to get that? Where we're just going to, Daddy's just going to write a check. That doesn't work that way. You get to believe God like Daddy gets to believe God. So let's get our believing working. And I've had God do more miraculous things. Kids, they want a 10-speed bicycle. They want a go-kart. Get to believe God for it. I remember it took my son 8 months to believe for that go-kart. It was a great one. Had a guy give us a great deal. Hey, Joe, would you be interested in a go-kart? Been believing for 8 months? Yeah, I would be interested. Went over and saw it. It was phenomenal. So get your kids involved in believing for stuff. Don't just let them show up like it's Christmas Eve. We don't do that.
Absolutely. I mean, that's in the God factor is always the most important factor. Yes. But I will tell you, years ago, I heard about this book called, it's called Money Doesn't Grow on Trees, and it's an old book.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
And teaches you how to teach your children from every age, from little tiny ages, on how to. One time it says, I know, cash your paycheck and put it all in ones and then say, this is how much stack looks like when we pay for electricity. Yes. That's why it's important for you to turn the lights off. And then here's one when we pay for the car. And this is what we pay for this. And let them see a visual. And it kind of puts it all into perspective. So this is how much we have left for the family. So every time you ask for something, it comes out of this little pile right here.
You're not trying to scare them. You're trying to teach them how to be wealthy one day. I'm going to teach you how to handle money. That's how mom and dad handle money. We get to believe God, and we have to be stewards of what we already have. So there's stewardship on one time, believe God for increase on the other. So there's 2 levels of doing this. So let them see how it actually works. You're not trying to scare them. Well, we're poor. We don't have enough, and money's tight, and people are laying off. Don't tell that to your kids. They don't need to hear that doom and gloom stuff. Be very positive. Well, what do you believe in God for? All things are possible.
And we went from one generation who was like, when you're 18, you're on your own, blah, 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 blah.
How was that?
To, well, we don't want our kids to have it that hard. And we've swung the pendulum too far the other way. And I remember when I was a single mother, so I didn't have the luxury of, just giving my kids everything. And so I, but they had had it when we were married, so it was kind of a hard transition. And so I remember my son was in college and he asked me for some money. And I said to him, son, he was 18. I said, son, you're a grown man now. And I said, the Bible says I owe no man anything but to love him. And I love you with all my heart, but I can't keep paying your bills. I can't. I wish I could, but I can't. And I think it really taught him a lesson. He never has, that was a very serious
Oh,
conversation
yeah,
we had.
he took it to heart.
He really did. So I think it's a very serious conversation, ongoing conversation that you have with your
Well,
children.
we got too many kids in America that all of a sudden they turn 18 or 22 or 30, and all of a sudden they're being kicked out and they've never been trained or taught. And like, what do I do now? We're gonna have to get you an apartment, get you a car, and I'm like, well, how do I do that? Because you've never been trained.
Well, and in our lifetime, things have changed so much.
Yes.
I mean, when I was in high school, they would teach you how to fill out an application, how to
Yes.
go to a job interview, and they don't teach you practical things like that, anymore, which is very sad. We've almost crippled an entire
That's
generation.
true. But we, the believers, we live in a different world. We
Yes, we
can
do.
make it happen.
We can. Joe, my spouse and I are in our 50s and very much love each other, but we have different opinions about upcoming retirement. I want to be done by 60, but he loves to work and I don't see an end in sight. This has caused us not to prioritize savings for the future. Any suggestions on where to begin? You're probably asking the wrong guy. I'm just going to tell you right now.
Well, I love to work. Work's a four-letter word. It's not a cuss word. I plan to be working the last day I'm here on this planet, and I plan to live a long time. I come from a long line of lengthy livers. But number one, you need a budget. Everybody needs a budget. And every time I do this with couples at our marriage seminar, a fight's going to break out because you don't see things the same. Women see money as security, men see money as freedom, and it's not the same language. So you got to get together sometime, even for 30 minutes on a Thursday afternoon. Hey, let's sit down a minute. We need to talk about the money and get some ideas, because whatever you're thinking, your spouse is not thinking. So number one, somehow get together. Well, how much do we need to live? How much do we need to retire? And I like retirement. That's a great idea. I love to work. I don't want to have to work. I like working, but I don't have to work. So we've always studied the Jewish people, been to Israel several times. Jewish people, they never quit working. They might retire from a company, but every Jewish person I've ever met has at least three sources of income. That's job's not doing so well. These other two are doing great. And they never retire. They work until they drop. And that's why they're rich. You ever met a poor Jewish person? They're all rich because they know how to work. So I like working, but I don't want to have to. So you gotta start with that conversation. So I don't have to work, but I'd like to. I like to be busy, do stuff, help people, be a blessing. So
We live in a retirement area and see it all the time.
yes, we do.
For example, the other day I had to serve on jury duty, and this very nice lady who had just moved here. I was asking her how she likes it. Has she been around? Has she gotten involved anywhere? And she goes, "No, I haven't met anybody. I'm very lonely and isolated. My husband gets up and plays golf every day." And so I was trying to give her ideas. I invited her to my church and different things like that, and said, "There's, things you could do to get involved." And but I felt sorry for her because I thought, well, he's living his best life and she's just miserable.
Yep.
And she said, I lived on a block where there was a lot of kids and I loved it. I had a relationship with all the kids. And now we live in a neighborhood, there are no kids, which one time I lived with my mom in one of those neighborhoods. Don't like it. Don't like it at all. So, and then you see, so many times I see this, you'll go into, Zaxby's, and you'll see a guy in there who is definitely retired, working behind the counter. And if you start talking to him, "Why are you working?" "Because I don't like retirement. Because I don't like just sitting around
Yep.
and staring at four walls." It made my wife and I grumpy at each other.
Yep.
So you may be in two different places. Maybe a good idea is let him work part time
Ooh.
and get a plan for retirement. I mean, there's compromises that you could make, but
Because what you're doing right now will not last. It's going to be like a volcano. It's going to blow up eventually. And I used to tell married couples in our marriage seminars, gentlemen, when a woman decides to leave, it's not debatable. her cup will fill up. And one day she says, I'm gone. I'm through. I'm done. Men think, well, what can I do? You've been oblivious for too many years. You need to stick your nose in the middle of something to figure out, hey, are you okay? Can I do something better? Anything you'd like to do with us or as a couple? You better start asking questions. She'll just dump you and run. It happens every day. It sounds so horrible to say that, but I see it as a Christian minister, dealing with a lot of Christian people. I see it happen every day. They'll just dump and run. I don't have to do this with you. Where am I involved in this thing? This was a two-party deal. What do I get to do something? You know, maybe you take your wife and play golf with her, you know? So
yeah, let me teach her how to play. Yeah. Or pickleball's huge here.
Oh, pickleball.
All right. I have noticed my friends, myself included, have been dealing with a lot of anxiety. We're starting to see it rub off on our kids, too. How have you dealt with anxiety in the past? You know, the Bible says anxiety is based on a spirit of fear.
Yes, it is.
And I mean, we are inundated with fear.
Yes,
we are. Through the news, through the movies.
You're not worried? We'll give you something to be worried about.
Through the politics, through the media, through newspapers, through, I mean, everything just is coming at every angle. And if you're not a believer that knows who you are in Christ, these are frightening days. They truly are. But that's where you have to just totally get in the Word and start confessing the Word.
Yes, you do.
God has not given me a spirit of fear.
The Bible says, roll your cares over into the Lord, for he cares for you. But if you don't know that, the devil's going to give you a lot to worry about. Every TV program, every movie you go to, every news broadcast is going, hey, you need to be worried. We got a new disease. We got a new war. We got a new famine. We got new problems with the stock market. You're probably going to lose all your money. You're not going to live very long. The world sells bad news. It makes money on bad news. So you got to guard your heart. Bible says, think on these things, whatever lovely, honest, just, praiseworthy, good report. Think on these things. Don't think on those things. You got to shut your mind down. Number one, you got to stop the flow of bad information. Don't watch stupid stuff. Don't listen to bad stuff. So I used to tell people, I listen to the news 30 minutes a day just to find out what's going on. I don't do that anymore. I find we got computers now. You got your cell phone. You can look it up. What's the top 10 things happening in the world today? And you can find out that and you can pray for what you want to. But I tell people, you know, the devil's always getting, you know, condemned. Well, you ought to be worried about what's going on in Zimbabwe. Well, I've never been to Zimbabwe. I don't know anybody in Zimbabwe. I can care less what's happening in Zimbabwe. I'm supposed to care about my family, my wife, my kids, my grandkids, my neighbors, my church, my community, my mayor, my governor, my state. I got plenty to think about, plenty to pray about, plenty to be concerned about. So don't let the devil catch you worried about something you don't have any authority over anyhow. You can't do a thing about it. So why are you thinking about it? It's not your deal. Take care of your deal. Oh, that sounds horrible, doesn't it? But it's real good.
I think I would say as a family, we're going to memorize scriptures once a week.
Ooh,
and just with your kids, just find scriptures that combat fear and just start teaching your kids.
Put on a 3x5 card. Here's your scripture for the week.
Yeah. So it's important that not only you get the word in you, but you get it in them as well.
You don't have a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Start telling them that. The only weapon we have is the word of God. We don't have any other weapon. The only weapon we have, the only thing the devil's afraid of is the spoken word of God. But if you don't know any, you can't speak it. You're speaking the negative that you're hearing on the news. Don't do that. Get your scripture. That's a wonderful idea, Adrian. Get your one scripture for a week and work that thing.
Hey, guys, we have a new parenting 5-part teaching series that Joe has just put out, and you can download it. It's fantastic. It's the best of the best. You can download it at our website. It's just $30, and it's 5 hours of teaching on parenting. So maybe you want to gift it to somebody. Maybe you want to watch it yourself, but it's a wonderful
series. Home Bible study, show it in a Sunday school class.
Check it out at joemcgee.com. We love you guys, and we'll see you next week.
God bless. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it. all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.